This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Republicans want Schiff out. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, March 29. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff is under pressure to step down from GOP lawmakers who say he knowingly promoted false information.
A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration rule on so-called association health plans.
After pushback, President Trump says he wants funding for the Special Olympics restored to his budget proposal.
And as men wear suits to the office less and less, retailers are struggling to adapt.
The shift to casual dress has been going on for a long time, but it does, in fact, seem to be picking up speed. And we just had, in recent weeks, Goldman Sachs relax its dress code, and Target is now allowing store employees to wear jeans to work. So, you know, it's not something that's going away anytime soon.
Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner on ditching suits. She's here in about 20 minutes. Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee want Democrat Chairman Adam Schiff to resign, saying he's abused his position to knowingly promote false information and undermine faith in government institutions regarding President Trump and the Russia investigation. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended Mr. Schiff.
I think they're just scaredy cats. They just don't know what to do, so they have to make an attack.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller found that Trump campaign associates did not collude with Russia. At a campaign rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan last night, Mr. Trump hailed the end of collusion delusion.
And after 3 years of lies and smears and slander, the Russia hoax is finally dead.
Meanwhile, Democrats continue to call for the full release of the Mueller report, said to be between 300 and 400 pages. So far, Attorney General William Barr has only released a summary. President Trump continues to reach out to Republican lawmakers to take the lead on crafting a health plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. Meanwhile, Senate Republicans want the administration to take the lead on developing a plan while they tackle popular voter issues such as lowering drug prices and ending surprise medical bills. The standoff means there's no clear path to a GOP health plan or a replacement to Obamacare. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California.
Make this promise to you, and it's a conversation I have with the president. The Republicans will make sure pre-existing conditions are protected.
Separately, a federal judge yesterday struck down a Trump administration rule expanding access to so-called association health plans, in which groups or associations join together and obtain health coverage that is generally lower cost but lack benefits mandated under Obamacare. The administration says the plans are a way to give consumers more health insurance options, but Democrats have said they could weaken insurance markets. Investigators probing two deadly crashes of Boeing 737 MAX airliners are dealing with a hybrid of old and new technology, where a complex piece of software controls hydraulic pumps and motors, similar to those used when Lyndon Johnson was president. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels says the plane, first designed in the 60s and modernized three times, is caked with successive generations of technology superimposed on each other. He's with us from his post in Brussels. Dan, explain.
So one of the issues that investigators are focused on with the MAX crashes is this, a system that stops the plane from stalling accidentally. And it was introduced in the most recent version of the plane that was developed 4 or 5 years ago. The plane itself was first developed in the 1960s. It's been modernized three times. Each time, a new layer of more advanced technology was introduced. And one thing that these crashes appear to show, it's not conclusive, is that you can get some unexpected consequences when you introduce digital control, software, automation to a piece of equipment that previously was mechanical or much simpler, especially if the operators, in this case pilots, are unaware of the system or aren't clear how the system works, or there's some unexpected interaction between the new software and the older physical equipment.
You said, too, even before the Internet of Things becomes a pervasive reality, tech experts and public safety pros are fretting over the intersection of virtual and real in what they call cyber-physical security. So that takes on a more broad meaning here, obviously.
Exactly. I mean, we're all familiar with cybercrime, hacking, malware, but so far, most of it has focused on the virtual world of the Internet. We have our bank accounts on the Internet, and our money is dematerialized. If it gets stolen, it's stolen, but it's in this virtual world. The Internet and most of the connected world so far hasn't been physical. It's been virtual, but it's starting to get physical because digital technology is allowing sensors on all sorts of things, and the ability to transmit data is growing exponentially. People talk about the Internet of Things, where your refrigerator, and even smart home devices are a step towards that. Everything is getting connected to the Internet, and 5G technology is going to push that. And so all these problems that have existed in the virtual world of the Internet will very much more pose a threat to the physical world that we live in.
Wow. All right, so in what realm are hackers, for example, rubbing their hands together in excitement?
It really runs the gamut from kind of malicious activity just to mess with things. But what really scares people is the physical equivalent of the malware attacks. So like a ransom, taking a facility hostage and saying, if you want your factory back, you have to pay us, or even beyond that, taking control of some kind of facility to cause actual physical damage. Most of the damage that's been caused by hackers and malware so far has been either financial or emotional or reputational, but very little of it has been actual direct physical harm. It is increasingly possible. I mean, there have been attacks so far. In fact, Ukraine has been a testing ground for Russian attacks on things like the power grid. We had an article recently in the Wall Street Journal about how Russian hackers got into the U.S. power grid. Didn't do harm, but had the potential to.
Thanks, Dan. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels. Meanwhile, the Journal says officials have reached a preliminary conclusion that a flight control feature automatically activated before the Ethiopian Airlines plane nosedived into the ground earlier this month. It's the strongest indication yet that the MCAS system misfired in both the Ethiopian Airlines flight and a Lion Air flight in Indonesia, which crashed in late October. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Have you heard about the revolution in online furniture shopping and Joybird, the company behind it all? Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and that you should always have the freedom to be boldly original. From idea to reality, they empower you to create the space and furniture that brings you joy. With Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste. Turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options, from mid-century modern to contemporary classics, customizable in an amazing array of fabric choices, from rich buttery leather and plush velvets to every color imaginable. Quality, handcrafted furniture. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision, using high-quality hardwood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications. Limited lifetime warranty included. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/gordon. Go to joybird.com. MaxAirliners.com/Gordon and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Gordon. Glad you could join us. Welcome into Friday. President Trump says he's overriding his budget team and providing funding for the Special Olympics. The decision came after his proposed cuts to the program drew heavy fire from both Republicans and Democrats. Mr. Trump's proposed budget for fiscal year 2020 would have zeroed out funding for the Special Olympics, which has an allocation of $17.6 million this fiscal year. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos had struggled to defend the proposal in testimony to Congress. She had this exchange with Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
Did you personally approve the $18 million cut of the funding for Special Olympics?
No, I didn't personally get involved in that.
Well, I want to tell you, whoever came up with that idea at OMB gets a Special Olympic gold medal for insensitivity.
Both Mr. Trump's Republicans and opposition Democrats had denounced the move. There was no sign that Congress was going to agree with the defunding proposal anyway. The president also sought, though, to cut funding last year, and lawmakers added it back in. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, investigators probing the fatal crash of a Boeing 737 MAX in Ethiopia have reached a preliminary conclusion that a suspect anti-stall system activated shortly before it nosedived to the ground. The Wall Street Journal says the findings are based on flight recorder data and represent the strongest indication yet that the system malfunctioned in both the Ethiopian Airlines crash on March 10th and the Lion Air crash in Indonesia last fall. The emerging consensus was relayed at a high-level briefing of the FAA yesterday. Presenting himself as both vindicated and vindictive, President Trump turned the findings of the Russia investigation into a political weapon at a Michigan rally yesterday. There was part victory lap, part 2020 campaign push. Trump unleashed a diatribe about the inquiry, which he deemed the greatest hoax in the history of our country.
The collusion delusion is over.
Meanwhile, Democrats intensified their demands for Robert Mueller's full report after learning the special counsel's findings from his Trump-Russia investigation run to more than 300 pages. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Attorney General William Barr's four-page summary is not sufficient.
Show us the report, and we can draw our own conclusions. We don't need you interpreting for us. It was condescending, it was arrogant, and it wasn't the right thing to do.
Democrats say they may subpoena the report if it's not forthcoming by their Tuesday deadline. Two people have died at the Grand Canyon in separate incidents this week that included one man stumbling over the edge of the rim while trying to take pictures. A helicopter lifted the body of the Hong Kong man from 1,000 feet below the rim yesterday at Grand Canyon West. Disney is eliminating smoking areas at its theme and water parks in California and Florida. The company says smoking also won't be allowed at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex or Downtown Disney in California starting May 1st. Loose or dry ice won't be permitted for coolers or cooler bags, and Disney's also limiting stroller sizes to 31 inches wide and 52 inches long. Stroller wagons won't be allowed after May 1st.
Whoa. I guess I wasn't even aware that smoking was still
available in designated spots.
In those certain areas. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So with fewer men buying suits these days, retailers of tailored clothing are trying to adapt to a world in which it is no longer unthinkable to wear Lululemon pants to the office. Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner has the story. Suzanne, what's going on?
The shift to casual dressing has been going on for a long time, but it does, in fact, seem to be picking up speed. And we just had, in recent weeks, Goldman Sachs relax its dress code, and Target is now allowing store employees to wear jeans to work. So, you know, it's not something that's going away anytime soon, although, you know, I've gotten so many emails from men sort of bemoaning the fact that nobody wears suits anymore. There are still men who apparently do like to dress up, but, you know, that tide is not reversing anytime soon.
So a quick follow-up then. Goldman Sachs relaxed its dress code. What does that mean? Or what are the new rules or guidelines?
You know, they're sort of leaving it up to their employees to dress in an appropriate way for their day. So, you know, use your best judgment. If you have a meeting with a client and you know that client is formal, wear a suit. If you don't have a meeting, you can wear, you know, khakis and a blazer, sort of, you know, a wide latitude. But, you know, which actually makes it a little bit harder for men because it's not always clear what the appropriate attire should be or how to mix and match. You know, a suit was like a uniform. You just put it on with a tie, you're ready to go. Yeah. But it's a little bit harder for men to figure out how to do casual dressing.
All right, so what are stores like Men's Warehouse or Joseph A. Bank doing here to try to adjust?
Well, they're de-emphasizing the suits. So Joseph A. Bank has a new advertising campaign, and in the past, all their commercials featured men in suits. And this one, for the first time, doesn't. There's, I think, one man in a suit, but all the other images are, you know, men in jeans and a blazer or khakis and a sweater. And they're just trying to sort of get the message across that, hey, you know, you can come to us for more than just suits. They've also introduced the one area of suits that does seem to be growing is the custom suit area. And they have introduced a line of custom suits, very affordable, for starting at like $300 for a bespoke suit. And that is doing well for them.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Suzanne Kapner, Wall Street Journal reporter. Her piece is called Men Ditch Suits and Retailers Struggle to Adapt. So as part of this shift, you referenced a guy in your story who wears some sort of stretchy pants to work.
They're Lululemon pants. You know, they're not yoga pants. So they do look like actual pants, but they have a lot of stretch in them. And you can, you know, they're pretty versatile. You can wear them to, you know, exercise in, but also, you know, I'm on the golf course, in the office, at the gym. They're kind of like a 360 pant.
Wow, but not sweatpants.
They're not sweatpants, no. They have, it's called an ABC pant, and it does have like a waist and a button, but they're just very stretchy.
Wow. Thanks, Suzanne. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Suzanne Kapner. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In today's age, it can be hard to find the time to sit down and learn more. It's not easy when social media can be so addictive, right? So you may think you don't have the time to read a book or develop yourself. If that's the case, there's an app I highly recommend. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that identifies the key takeaways, the need-to-know info from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them into about 15 minutes so you can read or listen. I like Blinkist because it has a massive and growing library from self-help and business to health and history books. I can indulge in the topics I want without having to read the entire book. When time is hard to find, find Blinkist. Perfect for your commute. Always wanted the skinny on the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Blinkist is for you. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, March 29. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Republicans on the House Intel Committee want Chairman Adam Schiff to step down for how he positioned the Mueller investigation. President Trump restores funding for the Special Olympics in his budget proposal. Sweet 16 games resume tonight. Meanwhile, Michigan and Tennessee, both number 2 seeds, were sent home last night. Lyft is pricing its IPO at $72. A live-action remake of Disney's Dumbo opens in theaters today, and the Spring Breaker spending time cleaning up beaches. That story in about 20 minutes. After 3 years of Democrats attacking President Trump for refusing to release his tax returns, it might seem natural for the Democratic presidential hopefuls to release their own. But while transparency has become a rallying cry for the party and its base, reporter Holly Bailey at The Washington Post says many of the Democrats vying to challenge Mr. Trump in 2020 have not been quick to disclose their own personal tax returns, offering a range of excuses. Holly, what have you found?
Well, basically, we've did a whole survey of the field just sort of asking. It was pegging off the fact that Kirsten Gillibrand was the first to release her 2018 tax returns. And she's sort of using this. She's the New York senator, and she's really been sort of having problems getting attention for her campaign. She's at the bottom of the polls right now. She did a whole relaunch this weekend in New York outside Trump International Hotel, where she's really trying to contrast herself as an open candidate committed to transparency. And she released a video along with her tax returns pointing out that she's posted her tax returns dating back to 2007 on her campaign website, that this is a practice that she's been embracing since she was in Congress, since she was a member of the Senate, and sort of calling on her other Democratic rivals to do the same. Now, Elizabeth Warren has posted as many tax returns on her campaign website as Gillibrand, but she's yet to release her 2018 returns. She actually does her own taxes, so, and they have until April 15th, obviously, to file. But we sort of were wondering, you know, what is everybody else doing? Bernie Sanders got a lot of heat back in 2016 because he only released 1 year of taxes back then, and he's been under a lot of pressure to release more information this time around. And about a month ago, he said that he would be releasing about a decade of tax returns, but we still have yet to see them. And the rest of the field has sort of been all over the place. Many people say they will release, but we don't know when, we don't know how much. And so it's just sort of interesting in contrast to when you have a lot of the party, including, the head of the DNC out there quite a bit, trashing President Trump for, not releasing his tax returns, the sort of a question of what kind of standard, Democrats are going to apply to themselves in this regard.
Until Mr. Trump came along, this was a customary show of transparency going back some time.
It's a voluntary thing. It's not anything, there's no rules. It's just something that people started doing around the late 70s. And so if you go back, there's a lot of websites that have compiled, tax returns for Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan and John McCain back in 2008. I remember, I covered his campaign and there was quite a bit of drama because he released about a year, and he did it because it was voluntary, but it also, he got a lot of heat because it revealed, the extent of his income and the fact that his wife, who was a member of a beer distribution service in Arizona, she had a lot of money, and so he got a lot of heat about his income, and that's sort of, people are always hesitant to put that information out there, but they always have and sort of have ridden even the bad headlines about it. And so now there's sort of a concern that because Trump didn't do it in 2016, that there be candidates to say, well, Trump didn't do it and he survived, and so maybe I won't. So you have a lot of ethics watchdogs out there sort of putting more pressure on Democrats and Republicans too who are considering the race, asking them to release 10 years, sort of as a standard of past tax returns.
We're speaking with Holly Bailey at The Washington Post. Does anyone believe, with the massive staffs employed by these people, that it takes them a long time to get their information in order?
Well, it is a tricky, thing. I mean, I think about if I were somewhere to ask me about, getting my tax returns. I mean, it's a heavy lift in some ways. But at the same time, you do have people like Bernie Sanders who faced the scrutiny last time, who, has faced many questions about his finances since that campaign. And you would think that sort of they would have more of the house in order, but not yet. And he has always cited the excuse that, his wife Jane does the taxes, and so they're still sort of compiling all these papers. But you do have a lot of candidates in the field where we have not really seen anything about their finances. Beto O'Rourke, for example, comes from a pretty prominent family in El Paso, and we know he had had some extensive real estate holdings in the past, and he sold a technology company last year before he really got into the race against Ted Cruz down in the Texas Senate race. And so when he has said that he will release his taxes, but we don't know when and we don't know how much. And, it's sort of a hodgepodge of various excuses. And then sometimes people, we reached out to candidate campaigns and didn't even respond.
Thanks, Holly. Holly Bailey from The Washington Post. By the way, regarding the filing by Senator Gillibrand, she and her husband Jonathan reported about $167,000 from her congressional salary and another $50,000 in business income from her book deal. They paid $29,000 in federal taxes, and Bloomberg says they saved a few thousand under the Republican tax cuts. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it was fun while it lasted, but the quest for perfection is over. thanks to Purdue's overtime win over Tennessee in the Sweet 16. Greg Nigel, who, as we discussed, had picked the first 49 games in the tournament correctly, won't beat the 1 in 9.2 quintillion odds of picking a perfect bracket. Nigel, who is a neuropsychologist from Ohio, was flown out to Anaheim by Buick with his son to watch last night's games in person, which you could argue might not have been a smart move given his hot streak. The good news is he would seem to be in a pretty good position to win the bracket contest he entered and shatter the record for the most games picked correctly to start the tournament, which had previously been 39.
What a game that was.
Yes.
I stayed up and watched that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a thriller. And by the way, I had that one correct.
You did.
He should have called me. I could have helped.
He should have called you.
Yeah, he should have called.
Yeah, he needs your advice at this point.
But what was he thinking, though? Go to the games in person.
Anybody who's on a hot streak of any kind, you know you don't mess it up by doing something like that.
Don't touch the money.
Right.
Don't touch the money.
What he should have done, because he didn't pay attention, apparently, to what happened last weekend in the first two rounds, he probably should have just done that. He probably should have just not even paid attention to the scores or anything and then just, you know, check back in Monday morning to find out what happened if he really wanted to keep it going.
This, though, makes him likable to me.
Yes.
Because he put that aside.
Right.
And decided to go with his son.
Right.
Into what was probably an unforgettable event.
Yeah.
To attend the game.
Yeah.
You know, courtesy of Buick or whatever. So.
Right. My guess is he doesn't have a lot of money involved in
that's
this.
That's what I'm hoping.
He did this just for fun.
Otherwise, I think it's a moronic decision. But
right.
If he's just looking for bragging rights,
yeah.
I think he made a good call.
Yeah. And, Gordon, this is something we need to follow up on, given how often you profess your love for boiled, baked, and salted breakfast foods. While you were out yesterday, talked about the controversy brewing this week over bagel slicing, with someone on Twitter dragging the entire city of St. Louis into the dust-up. Alec Krautman sparked the heated debate after tweeting a picture of a plate of bagels sliced vertically like bread. The nation, including most of New York, reacted, including Senator Chuck Schumer, New York City's chief of detectives, Dermot Shea, thanked posters for reporting this crime and added that it would never happen in New York. Eliza Orlins, who's a city public defender, tweeted, "I'm a lifelong New Yorker and this hurts my soul." But not everyone was critical. The National Weather Service in St. Louis tweeted a photo of a plate of bagels and tweeted, "It's been a busy week with flooding, hail, and tornadoes, but we always have time for bread-sliced bagels." And Krautman himself is getting support from the place he bought the bagels, Panera, who said that the next time his bagels are on us and that he can have them sliced however he'd like.
Wow. I saw your tweet. I couldn't believe it that somebody would do this to a bagel.
How close to a heart attack were you when you saw that picture?
It was very unsettling. I'm going to say, is this the way birds eat?
Right.
I mean, if you're a bird, you eat some sliced bagel. It looks like a piece of bread. That's not the way you eat a bagel.
No.
You pile on the cream cheese.
Yes.
Put the top back on and chew it like a sandwich.
Somebody I know on social media said that they knew somebody who actually didn't slice the bagel at all and kind of put the cream cheese on top, spread it on top of the bagel, ate it that way. He said he never spoke to that person again. I mean, that's how strong people's feelings are on this situation.
That's desperate. Like, if you haven't eaten in 6 days, I can see.
Sure.
That's a measure of desperation. Yeah.
I got you.
Oh, my goodness. And sloppy? Imagine doing that on the first date. Oh, first date would be over. I'm so
bagels
messy.
On the first date, huh?
13 minutes now in front of the hour.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. Well, someone in Wisconsin, as you probably know, nabbed the $768 million Powerball ticket on Wednesday. If it wasn't you, don't worry. There's a more modest $40 million up for grabs in tomorrow's drawing. So who wants in on the office pool? Yeah, it turns out not everyone. USA Today says for those who don't gamble and those on tight budgets, getting pressured to fork over $2, $5, $10, or $20 bills week after week can become taxing and annoying. One single mother at a medical center in Virginia says that opting out of the workplace's collective lottery tickets turned out to be an alienating experience, saying she stopped getting invited to things and was positioned as somebody who is not a team player. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
But in the Democratic chairs of powerful committees in the House are demanding that Attorney General William Barr release Special Counsel Robert Mueller's entire 300-page report, as well as the underlying evidence of the nearly two-year investigation by early next week. The chairs of the House Judiciary, Oversight, Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, Ways and Means, and Financial Services Committees say they need access to all of Mueller's findings and investigative materials by April 2nd to make an independent assessment of the probe. Meanwhile, President Trump celebrated the end of what he called the Russia hoax with his ardent supporters in Michigan last night.
And after 3 years of lies and smears and slander, the Russia hoax is finally dead.
According to the four-page summary authored by Barr, Mueller did not find evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Moscow, but the special counsel did not reach a conclusion in his probe into whether the president obstructed justice. Facing a storm of protests, President Trump says he is backing off his budget request to eliminate funding for the Special Olympics. That move reverses course after his administration endured days of criticism for the proposed cuts. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was grilled on Capitol Hill yesterday by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
Did you personally approve the $18 million cut of the funding for Special Olympics?
No, I didn't personally get involved in that.
Well, I want to tell you, whoever came up with that idea at OMB gets a Special Olympic gold medal for insensitivity.
Before he left for a rally in Michigan, Trump said he authorized funding for the organization. Along with the usual declarations and deductions, Massachusetts residents have been asked to keep something else in mind this tax season: pigeon droppings. Mass Wildlife is urging taxpayers to check a box on their tax forms to donate money to the state's endangered species program. One beneficiary of the program is a falcon that preys on pigeons. Noting that pigeon droppings are extremely corrosive, officials want to reintroduce the falcon to Massachusetts after the raptor disappeared from the state in the 1950s. As the falcon population increases, the pigeon one is retreating. Mm.
You know what I was just thinking? You can tell the popularity of something based on its college nickname. So how many schools are like
pigeons?
Falcons or
Falcons.
Hawks, but not pigeons.
No, no.
Nobody wants
no.
to be a pigeon.
No. Rats with wings.
Rats with wings. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A Georgia man in Florida for spring break went against the grain last week by picking up after hundreds of rowdy fellow college students, and the good deed quickly went viral. Fox News says 19-year-old Joshua Caraway, a freshman at the University of West Georgia, told news outlets he had come to Miami Beach on vacation with his friends, but that was no excuse to leave the place worse than he had found it. Miami Beach Police Major Paul Acosta told Fox TV in Miami that he approached Mr. Caraway to thank him for his efforts. Major Acosta later shared the encounter on social media, saying, "So I told Joshua, you've been picking up trash for a long time instead of hanging out listening to music. I asked why. He says he loves animals and wants to take care of their home and ours." Miamians obviously pleased with the Atlanta residents, said Mr. Caraway is welcome back anytime. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.